Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Care to Read. We've been having quite a bit of technical difficulties this evening. I apologize for the delay. For some reason, it appears that whenever I'm logging on, I get these weird errors on my screen. But nevertheless, I'm up bright and early this morning and ready to bring you Care to Read. Yes, this is your Onyinka. You have her in the house now. I'd like to borrow a little bit of your air time for an hour, and then at the end, I will give you your world back. And once again, thanks for hanging in there and bearing with me on this occasion. We are in the process of trying to complete a series of workshops that I started bringing to you from the RIF program. RIF is sponsoring this program, which is underwritten by Project 2019. And so far we have completed workshop number one, Understanding Early Literacy and Language for Development, Training and Planning. Workshop number two, Creating Literacy-Rich Environment. Workshop number three, Where Conversation Leads. And I'd like to just do an overview on the last workshop, workshop three, Where Conversation Leads. We were deep into a discussion about the various different role models and processes that you could take for getting involved in conversations and teaching children about the proper way to hold a conversation and the rules of conversation. I just want to just add a few more things to that, and I'll wrap up that chapter and go right on into reading aloud. With our conversational reading, we did some ad-lib situations where the instructor and the teacher's providers can provide an atmosphere for role modeling for those children so that they can learn the rules of the game. Very necessary that they understand what the rules of the games are. One person talks, the other person listens. And that there are many ways to indicate you would like to make an insertion, but the game, the rules of the game is that you wait until the other person completes their thought, and then you speak. So it's important for us to allow children to come up front. First, we role model the proper way of communicating and speaking, and then we ask them to volunteer and participate in group settings where they demonstrate back to us. Now, I want you to understand that for some cultures, it's a little bit different. And you can go into different cultures, household, and each home would have a different setting of expressing themselves. And I know it would be for my family in general. You might at any time come in and find everyone talking at the same time. It appears that the African-American coming out of the African descendant had the same type of culture where everyone is talking, accelerated voices, very loud and noisy, but at the same time, everybody is involved in many conversations and not just one. Whereas you might go into other households and find that it doesn't happen that way. You might find one or two conversations going on very, very quiet. And even we found that when there's a party going on, our music is a lot louder, and we're still in touch with everything, multitask, that you would say, and doing many things at the same time. However, when students go to school, they have to learn when in Rome what the Romans do. So it's important to teach them proper protocol. And that would be that communication has to function in a certain manner in the school setting. So with our preschoolers and our kindergartners, sometimes it's a little difficult for them to wait. They have that problem when they're very young. They just don't know how to be patient and wait their turn. Very difficult time waiting their turns. Now, another thing that we spoke about with the conversation, we spoke a little bit about the fact that children have to also role model and be able to use their dramatic play time to do a lot of this conversational role modeling. And that's why with a dramatic play, you might see areas just loaded with all types of garments and outfits and costumes so the children can get into different characters. Because it's a little difficult for them to role play characters that they are not very familiar with, but sometimes the clothing helps. So I would admonish you teachers that you definitely need a dramatic play area with lots of garments that have been donated or things that you might be able to purchase outside at a secondhand store to get these children into the position of role modeling and acting different parts. I would say telling stories, becoming storytellers. And it would be very important that you would invite some storytellers to your room, have those storytellers come in and give an example of how stories should be told. I did that once. I invited a very, very prominent storyteller, folkloid, I would say, to our school and had him come in and to do a series of folklores and stories that he had been doing in his repertoire for so many years. I had known this gentleman for many years and had actually gone on the road with him and traveled with him and did a bit of storytelling myself and became very fond of storytelling to the point where we became very good friends, and he worked with me in editing my thesis, and I actually allowed him to go and open my show and do the storytelling before I started lecturing on early childhood development. And it turned out very well. And I found out how valuable storytelling was in the classroom in a setting for child development. It's very important. And I can't begin to urge you enough, teachers, to make sure that your budget will allow that your child has some exposure to a real-life folklore storyteller. The reason why I say that is because the books become alive to the child if they hear any familiar stories that the storyteller is articulating. They become so intrigued with the story that their antennas and needles sitting at the end of their seat. And once they realize that Mother Goose stories can be told orally and that they're still in print, they become so fascinated with stories. And they'll say, read it again and again and again and again. And you'll find yourself memorizing the story. And then sometimes you will ad-lib the story and ask them to do the same. Now, I want to bring your attention to some of the conversations and where they can lead to. Some parents don't realize that when you invite guests to your home, who have a lot to talk about. Conversations can lead anywhere. Children become fascinated when you have guests in the home. They come out of the woodwork and they want to be known, and they also want to make themselves known to the people. They come out with the five W words, who, what, when, where, and why. And that's their favorite word, why, why. Like Lindsay Kaplan says and Tony Ross, they wrote a book about why. And that book that they wrote about, they talked about using the word over and over again all day long, every day. When in the space and whenever the children will constantly use the word, why? Why do I have to go to bed? Why do I have to eat my breakfast? Why do I have to watch my brother? They use that word so often that they begin to start talking about the five W's. And the five W's were planted at the end of the story so that the child would know exactly what to pull out of the story. So that book, The Why Book by Lindsay Camp, is a great book to introduce to the children. Okay? And there is other books out there as well. There is a book out there called Jamaica. Jamaica is a series, and it is it's a book about a little African American girl. And this is a picture story book for toddlers, 2 and 3 year olds, and for little girls who are going to the farm to ask all about the animals. And Jamaica's asking all these questions about the animals. Okay, and you will find that this book is very, very interesting for children who are trying to put things in their proper perspective. And that book is by Tana Holben. Okay, it's written by Tana Holben. And then there's a book called Let's Go Visit by Sue Williams, one of my favorites. And her last name has been added on Gulliver. She writes a book about Let's Go Visit. And this book is a book where the child gets to travel. You can use it for field trip books. Okay? Then there's another book, and one of my favorites, And In the Moon, If the Moon Could Talk. And that book is by Kate Banks. And Kate Banks goes on to talk about if this moon could talk. And she features a bedtime ritual as a child imagines, what if the moon could say good night as it passes over the world? And the illustrations are quite vividly, and the child would just love this book for a bedtime story. Now, we are talking about lullabies, and I want you to understand that one of the oldest lullabies is a Native American song called Rock-a-Bye Baby on the Treetop. Rock-a-bye baby on the treetop, when the windows of prayer will break, when the bell breaks, the baby come down, and down will come baby, cradle and all. Now, that song was done in a Native American tongue. And I got a little confused on it just a few minutes ago because I did want to do it in a Native American tongue. But at this particular time of the hour in the morning, I am just not with the language just this morning, so I don't want to crucify the song. But nevertheless, you get the gist of what I'm saying. Lullaby songs are very, very important to children. You can make up your own, and you can create these lullaby songs for your children. But definitely do explain to the children in class that it's okay during nap time that you can put on some soft music and they can have their own lullaby song. Now, I'd like to go on to discuss the ways to support children who in the home and that have different languages. It's important that you understand that there are books out there that you can introduce to the child. And one of my favorites is called Margaret and Margarita. These two books are about identical twins, and it's by Lindsay Marbury. It's a picture book, a story book, and with words in it, and it can be written in English or Spanish. You can find the book in either language. Very good book. I recommend highly. Now, if you would allow me to, I'd like to go ahead and transition in reading aloud. We don't want to spend so much time on where our words lead to, but we want to get right into reading aloud. And in reading aloud, I'd like to introduce you to the discussion about how to choose books to read out loud with the young children and what's the appropriate way and how do you go find those books. And which books do you know that will speak to the occasion and just speak right out at you and give you tonation and volume and everything? Well, you might want to go to the library and spend some time there going through the books. For example, The Babies Are Coming is a very good book by Amy Hess. This is a Crown Publisher book. It was created in 1997, a picture book for toddlers, 2 and 3 year old, and preschoolers. The Babies Are Coming. This is an excellent book. I urge you to pick up that book to read. It's a great book for reading out loud. And as a suggestion for alternative books that you might choose Beverly Billingsley, Browse a book, and Alexander. And that book that they have, let me see, where's this book, for some reason, Beverly Billingsley Browse book is a book by Alexander Slander. This book is a book for children at the age of 3 and 4. It's a picture book for preschoolers. You might want to check that book out. And to model an engaging reading out loud techniques, there's a great book that I always use every year. It's on my high list of books to read, and that's called Stone Soup by Tony Ross. And The Puffin, P. Piper, that's another good book. And you could talk about what is a puffin and where does a puffin come from. These are picture books for storybooks for children at the age of 3 to 4, and they can enjoy those books. To practice engaging reading out loud techniques is very important. I can't stress that enough, that you always want to make sure that every book that you put on display, that you take some time to read across the curriculum. It's very important. And The Freight Train, that's an excellent book by Donald Crewe Mulberry. That book was published in 1978. It's a wordless picture book, however, for toddlers. And do make sure that you use the wordless picture books for toddlers and two-year-olds. The older children, sometimes you can hand them the book and ask them to formalize their own stories, but I prefer to take the 4 and 5 year olds and give them really books, really word books, so that they know that words make sounds. Now, for the younger children, sometimes it's not necessary, because you can change the story around again and again. And The Freight Train is an excellent story to do that with. And then also I would recommend Too Much Noise by Anna McGrovin. This is one of the textbooks I have on air, and it's by Anna McGrovin. This book is excellent. With all the noise going on, the children complain. It's a classical book, a classical picture story book for preschoolers. I don't know how many of you have heard of A Hat for Marie Marva, and A Hat for Marva Lewis is a great book also, and that's by Janet Morgan. It's an excellent book. And then there's the Puffin books. That's a whole series of books you can also find and read with your children. These are simple picture story books for toddlers, 2 and 3 year old preschoolers. Then I recommend The Cow Buzz by Andrea Zimmerman and David Kleshma. These are two books that I would recommend as well. This is a storybook for 2 year olds and preschoolers. And finally, I recommend The Wolf by Becky Bloom. And this orchard book was created in 1999. It's a picture book for preschoolers. Try those books out and see how you like them. Excellent books that would definitely go well with your reading out loud. Now, to show the children that it's necessary to read out loud, you might want to demonstrate reading left to right. You show the child how to turn the pages of the book and erectly stand straight, and show the child that they can hold it in one hand. But with the smaller children, you might show them how to hold it with both hands. And if you're using a pointer for anything that may be on the easel, you explain to them that they have to keep the pointer away from people's face and direct it directly towards the words on the paper. I would like to share with you some other things about the family, to share with the family how to encourage the child to read in the home and to read out loud and read stories for the family. You read for like 10 minutes a day. You ask the child to find a book that the family can read. Okay. And once the child finds that book, then they begin to read. Like, for example, a book that I might read is Ready for Your Bonnie. And this is by Mary Wells. It's a scholastic book. Children enjoy reading that. It's a good family book. And I think it's very, very important that you talk to the children and tell the children that in reading books, they have to make sure that everyone in the family is engaged in reading. And I'd like to take some time to read you one of the little short essays that I read in my last session. And this is something that I always read because it grabs me and catches me, and I love it because it's a story about a village, and everyone wants to hear a story about a village, and I've kind of changed the African proverbs, it takes a whole village to raise a child. I've changed that, and I have come up with the conclusion that it no longer takes a village to raise a child, but instead it takes it takes a village and a child to raise up a parent. Because without a parent, you don't have a village. So I like to say that every now and then. But nevertheless, I'd like to read you this. And this is by the National Council on Family Relations. Once upon a time, there was a village built upon the edge of a river where the water churned roughly over the rocks. The villagers came up with a plan, and a net was put downstream to catch those who had fallen in the river. A full-time crew was hired to watch for the villagers floating downstream, pulling them from the river, dried them off, and gave them a blanket and sent them to the hospital. A couple decided to take matters into their own hands by helping to build a larger fence along the rough part of the river. That was prevention. Offering swimming lessons, that definitely had to be education. Speaking to the villagers about the danger of going into the rivers without a life jacket, they started a crusade of prevention and education, conducting classes to teach people how to maneuver their boats around the rocks. That was prevention and education. Soon, fewer and fewer people fell into the river, and those who did were better able to help themselves out. Family education is about teaching the skills and knowledge needed to avoid falling into the rivers, about knowing how to keep yourself if you do. Now, that couple was very, very smart to see the problems. A couple who moved to the village, and it's a lot easier to see the problem when you're not close to it. Those who had, might have been closer to it could not see the problem, but because they were so new, they were at a distance. So just like reading, sometimes children come to us and they have a problem with reading, and we don't take enough time to find the right tools to correct the problem. We somehow believe that as a child goes through with the other children who are reading, that they'll grow out of it or to go away. But reading deficits don't go away, and they have to be attended to or they get worse. And they have to be adjusted, and a preventative mechanism needs to be set up to alleviate those deficits which are causing the child not to be able to enunciate or comprehend. Comprehension and fluency is a great part of reading. If you do not comprehend, then all would be to not. You'd be wasting your time calling words and not comprehending the gist of the conversation. So I want to urge you to make sure that when your children are getting books read to them, that they're not only just getting words called to them, they're getting wisdom and understanding. And in all they're getting, you want to encourage them to get an understanding and to ask questions. Therefore, whenever you read out loud to your children, always go over and do a quick review and ask someone to summarize just what you just read and see if they can repeat it back to you. And if they can't, then you know they weren't listening at all. Then you're going to have to make a great effort to go back and reiterate some of those high topics on that subject of that particular book. All right? All right. Now, as I talk about reading out loud, some of my objectives would be for the teacher, as a result of this, of my workshop, participants, you should be able to select books that are developmentally appropriate for the individuals and for the children that you're working with. Read out loud always, and make sure that when you read out loud and that engages the child actively and involves the children, they love this. Ask open-ended questions always so that it encourages the child to build their own understanding of a story. Extended opportunities for the children to volunteer. extend children's understanding and enjoyment of stories by providing a related material and set up props and activities throughout the classroom whenever you're bringing new books out. And always make a big to-do of books and tell the child how to handle the books and let him know that if he's not kind and does not put the books back in the proper places and take care of handling, you will not let them use your materials again. Because some people think that it's okay for children to tear books up and treat them terribly bad. It is not okay. You must teach children at an early age. This is not appropriate. This is how we handle the book. Encourage families to read to children every day, teachers. Send home notes. Have them go on your internet and tell them, these are the list of books that I recommend. I urge you to read them to your children. And find some books that are family books to send home. Send home weekly readers so that the parents can purchase these books and have books at home that they own. I can't begin to tell you that there were so many children that never had books at home that they owned, and they were only able to have access to the books from the library. It's not a good feeling. I had children stealing books from me, and sometimes I didn't think I knew it, but I knew it. I was glad that when I had a basket that belonged to me of all the books, if they stole the book, I said, so what? I was happy that they were that eager to get the book. I got to the point where I started Xeroxing my books and making sure that these books were duplicated and they could have them. I said, don't worry about stealing them. I'm giving them to you. And I'd ask them, do you care to read some books today? They would all say yes. And then I went to Pizza Hut and got them signed up so they could record all the books they read. And after they read so many books, they were entitled to a free pizza. Boy, you should have seen how many children started reading books. They all wanted to be a part of it. Now, let me go on. And extended children's understanding and enjoyment of stories by providing related materials and props, just as I said earlier. Encourage families to read to the children every day and tell them that it doesn't matter if they read at bedtime or in the morning or before they go to school or after. It's just important that they read. Now, a key message, there are many different kinds of books for young children, just as I told you earlier. For example, books can explain and reinforce concepts, allow children to build positive self-images. That's something that's very important. I would like to take a breath on that. Find a book for every occasion. If the child is grieving, take some time to go to the library. Find special books that will speak to that grieving. If the child has had a loss of a great person in their family, make sure you talk about death and dying. Don't leave it a mystery to the child. Make sure that you go into details and explain to them about the cycle of life. Because preschoolers and kindergartens do learn about the cycle of life, no one should ever leave school not understanding the grieving process and that emotions are real and that it's okay to have feelings. It's very important that you do that. For example, books can explain and reinforce concepts and allow children to build positive self-images, encourage children to participate in the reading, past traditional tales, and find tales that are in your family lineage and pass those tales on. Sometimes I would pass on the Diddy Bites You stories over and over again to my children. And when I got grown and older, I decided to write my own series of the Lily Pad and carry that tradition on of my uncle. And find traditions in your family that you can create and carry on as well. And make tales come alive, because tales are real to those who tell the stories. And tell stories about realistic and imaginary characters and stimulate discussions and expand children's understanding of science and nature. Make sure that you talk about nature. Science is one of my favorites. I take time to set up my science lab every evening before I leave school or when I was teaching. You know, now that I'm retired, I don't do that anymore. But when I was teaching, I set up a laboratory, I experiment for beans and sprouting wheatgrass and working on dealing with every one of our little seeds and watching them grow in paper towels and watching them grow on rocks and soil. It's very important for the child to have a good handle of the scientific method. That's right, the scientific method. I did say scientific method, and you heard me right. Because the child learns so many things about life in the scientific method. He learns about hypothesis, which is a great big word he should know. He learns about collecting data. He learns about speculation. He learns to wait patiently for the results. So it gives him the life cycle and understanding that you can solve any problem with the scientific method. Then you have little scientists walking around the room and performing all of these processes. And that's what we're missing in school. Children do not know how to process, to show you how they derive at an answer. And you do not see the child's work and how he executed his answer. And that's what the ultimate thing we're trying to get at. Can the child process for himself? Reading aloud to young children at home or children who are in the child care setting, don't just put the child in front of the television set and expect him to get all of his education there. I would urge you not to do that. That is criminal as can be. You only use that television when you're supervising and you're doing programs, not sitting there babysitting. At home or in the child care setting is very appropriate for reading and is one of the most effective ways to support language and literacy development. Now, I want to say this. Literacy development does not have to just be in English. You can also broaden that child's horizon by introducing him to a foreign language, and not just Spanish. There are many beautiful languages out there. Please remember, language is all-consuming. I love singing. If you like to learn to speak the language, would you like to parlez-vous? Would you like to know the people better? This is what we gotta do. Konnichiwa. Hey, hey, jumbo. Hola. Ni hao. Aloha. Saluteros. Waswick. Ciao. It's very important for children to know that everybody has a language of their own. You can easily teach them that song, very easily. Now, reading aloud supports understanding more spoken word, learning print and concept, recognizing that language is made of discrete sounds like ee, ah, boo. This is a sound. It's okay for the child to make the sounds. The discrete sounds is very, very important and to motivate the child to become a reader. That's right. You tell him he's already reading because he can read the signs. The environmental signs are a requirement, ladies and gentlemen, for kindergartners and preschoolers before they transition on. So if they can read environmental signs, then they can read. Once you tell a child that he can read and he trusts you and believe you, he'll be able to read anything. First, you must think you can before you do. And it's very crucial that you tell the child that he is on his way to reading and give him as many accolades as possible or her as many accolades as possible. Reading aloud is more than pronouncing words on the page correctly. The children listen to the stories. They have to take meaning from the words. These children want to know this. They want to be a part of this. They want to understand what it means. Look back and move on and tell them we're on our way to higher ground because you don't want to get stuck in some reading area where you can't pull yourself up. Tell the child that, and little by little, he'll begin to be announced and not pronunciate words and break down the syllables and let them know that every word has a vowel. Give them a long vowel sound and tell them that the long vowel sound says its exact name and that the short vowel sounds are wearing a hat and they say the short sound. When two vowels go out to play a game, the first one usually says his name. The second one knows he cannot speak. Then he starts to go to sleep. Make a game out of it. Teach the rule. Don't just sit there and say, through osmosis, the child will learn to read on his own. You must make reading come alive, but you have to teach regulated codes, rules, so that the child knows when to stop, when to enunciate, when to accent. He must know how to break down words to syllables. He must understand that first you have alphabets, and then you have syllables, and you break down these syllables and suffixes and prefixes. He must know all these things. Don't be afraid to teach them everything you know, because everything I ever wanted to learn, I learned in kindergarten, and you teach every subject. After I had a chance to teach other subjects like sixth grade, seventh grade, and social studies, and came down to teaching preschoolers and kindergartners, I had never dreamed that I would have to know so much information. Boy, these little boys and girls are geniuses, walking geniuses, I might add. I never seen so many brilliant children in my life. I followed up, and I began to track these children to see how long it would be before they would be tainted by the educational bug that would take away their desire to learn. I followed one child for 2 years, and each year that I came to visit him, he got smarter and smarter. But I was told that there is something called the fourth grade syndrome, where the child loses all interest in learning. I guess that's that logical stage of curriculum kicking in from the right brain side, where everything is creative and hands-on cognitive work up until the grade of fourth grade. Now, I want to tell you something, parents and teachers and providers, don't get afraid of that, because you are not just looking at logical learners or the right brain learners or left brain. I want you to create whole brain learners, meaning that they can use both sides of the global of their brain. Even though we might only be subliminally using 20% of our subconscious mind, and that the unconscious mind is laid dormant, wake it up. The logical side is very dominant. It takes control over the right side. Teach them to utilize both sides of their brain and exercise both. Now, I want to go over those stories again and the authors. The Babies Are Coming by Amy Hess. A children librarian looks for the book to read out loud to a group of babies. And meanwhile, over and over again, the babies are crying and the babies are just all over the place and getting ready to come to the library. Now, then there was another book that I talked about, The Stone Soup by Tony Ross. The Big Bad Wolf tells Mother Hen he will eat her up and steal all of her goodies And Mother Hen tricks the wolf into doing her chores while she adds ingredients to the big pot of stone soup. What do you think about that? Then there's A Freight Train by Donald Crew. Each page has a few words and pictures of the freight train, and each car is a different type of color. And the colors merge as the train goes faster. Great book. Then there's Too Much Noise by Ann McGruffin. And it's an old man who lives in a noisy house filled with cracks and squeaks and and the wise man of the village tells him to invite more and more animals into his house. And it's still too noisy. And eventually, he finds a way to solve this problem. and I'm sure you know how. Now, these books are very, very precious, okay? I want you to know that. The way that you can, the purpose of using these books, for example, the one about the babies, you use this book by choosing books for the groups and individuals to let the stages for the child begin to develop for discussion of strategies for choosing books. And you make sure that your books have a purpose, and don't just bring any book in to read it. Read it before you bring it in the classroom and make sure it fits in for the topic and the subject. And listen and get involved by answering questions and discussions to the story. And work in small groups and practice reading aloud and then assign a book to the child. Develop an extension of the planning to do webbing with the book so that you can expound upon the characters in the book. And work in small groups to practice reading out loud and have the teachers that you work with read out loud to their groups as well. Now, there's a couple other books that I talked about. I had from Marva Lewis, and Janet Morgan wrote this book, A Curious Hen Leaves the Warm Hen House One Snowy Morning Looking for Warm Things to Wear. They are all the wrong size and shapes. Eventually, she finds a dainty pair of hats, and she wears both of them. Then the story about the cow buzz, that's Andrea Zimmerman and David Klinschmer, where the cow catches the bee, the bee's cold, and she also catches the buzz. Soon all the animals on the farm have colds and long voices. Okay. Then the wolf, Becky Bloom, okay, a wolf comes up on a farmyard filled of educated animals and decides that he wants to go to school and learn to read. After much practice, he becomes perfect at reading out loud, and the strategies become much easier, and he's admired by all the other animals. I love this book. This is one of my favorite books. I read this story so many times for children because this particular wolf got dignified after he learned to read. He became so good at it. Then there's the book, Read to Your Bunny by Rosemary Wells. A father rabbit reads to the bunny every day in many different places. This book is designed to encourage family reading time. And parents, please go out and get many books, invest in your children's education, and buy these books and have them all over the house. Not scattered, of course, but organized in a prim and baskets, and let the child sit in the bathtub and read. Even when they're not bathing, let them sit in the bathtub and read and put the books there for them. And that's a quiet place they can steal away. Now, we're going to take some time to take a breather. All right, take your vital signs. Is your pulse pulsating, and are you hyperventilating? Take some deep breaths and slow down. I don't want Omega to throw you into another zone and tire you out before the day begins to start. So I thank you for coming along and lending me your airtime at 5 in the morning. This is a great time for you to be a part of reading. And I'm up early this morning, and you're up early this morning. And by Jimmy Cricket, I hope those birds are up early this morning, too. I want to take a look outside and see what's going on. And we have about maybe 10 minutes to the hour, and this is a great time to keep going on and pushing on. Thank you, people. I want to just congratulate you for lending me your world, and I will give you your world back indirectly. Now, also, you might want to incorporate videos that pertain to reading out loud. okay? And it's okay to get videos, and for example, the videos have to be ethical to what you're doing. You guide the child to it. You don't just put a video on and say, here you go, okay? And it's very important that we do that. And I want to read those books over again. Babies Are Coming, Stone Soup, Freight Train, Too Much Noise, Hat for Mama, The Cow Buzz, Wolf, Weed to Your Bunny. Now, those are just a few of the books that I wanted you to go to the library and you can check them out. Now, background summary. Let me give you some background summary about reading out loud. Reading out loud is very important, as you know. As I described in Starting Out Right, a guide to promoting children's reading, and it's very important to read out loud. And success by the National Research Council skill, reader uses three core skills, and they are: they identify printed words using sounds and spelling connections, and by recognizing sight words, they take meaning from what is read by using previous knowledge. Now, let me say this. It's unfortunate, but African-American children come to school with far fewer vocabulary words than any other race of children. To be exact, about 5,000 less words. But nevertheless, something to their advantage, they do come to school with words from their own regularized code from their community. I want people to understand linguistically astute and appropriate is very important, because why wouldn't they come to school with urban setting words when that's where they were regularized? Nevertheless, these are still words. And take those words, be they words that are broken language, and expound upon them, because to turn a child off and to not acknowledge that they know words because they're not big words would be to say that you are rejecting the child. And we don't want to reject the children. We want to make all of them seem like they're linguistically correct. So therefore, if they are coming to school with fewer words and the words that they do know may not be appropriate for school, help them out a bit and show them new words and give them different pathways. They can identify words quickly, okay? They take meaning from what is read by using previous knowledge and whatever knowledge they come with to school with. Vocabularies and comprehension, strategies you may want to use. They read with fluency. What do I mean by fluency? I mean enunciating, letting the words flow like music. Fluency. And fluency means not stumbling over every other word. They can identify words quickly, which allow them to understand what they read and find reading a pleasant activity. During the preschool years, many children build a foundation for mastering their skills. They develop speaking and listening skills, including recognizing the sounds of spoken words phonologically. What do I mean by phonologically? Phonological awareness. Are they aware of these words? Do they know their words make sound? They become motivated to read and enjoy different kinds of literature. Not the same old thing all the time. If a child runs to you with the same book all the time and never wants to engage in anything new, then he's just stuck on that book. And they become aware of print and how it is used to learn to recognize names and write some letters of the alphabet. Now, as I talked earlier, I wanted you to know that before you get into just writing the alphabet, the first thing you want to expound upon is teaching the child the letters and their name, making sure they master them, and then go on to the alphabets and start breaking all of those down. But nevertheless, they will take ownership of their own name, and you would have given them a gift that nobody else would have thought to give them. And no one can take it away from them. is something that they own. And as you know, the first topic of discussion for the child is the child and himself. They don't talk about the community. They talk about the child and himself. Excuse me for a minute. Have a very itchy throat this morning. But nevertheless, I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and raring to go. According to Commission on Reading in 1983, a report writes, becoming a nation of readers, the single most important activity for building knowledge for the eventual success in reading is reading aloud to children. Did you know that? The joint position of the International Reading Association, IRA, and the National Association for the Education of Young Children in May 1998 agreed with this finding. And the single most important activity for building these understandings and skills essential for reading success appears to be reading out loud to children. By Wells, 1985, who wrote this? Reading out loud helps children gradually gain the foundation for conventional reading through many read out loud sessions at home and in the child care setting. Children build skills and construct knowledge they will use when they are developmentally ready for skilled reading. On that note, I'd like to thank you for tuning in to Care to Read. And I'd like to thank you for loaning me your world. I give you your world back. And I thank you for allowing me to be in the air with you this morning at such an early time. And I want to say thank you very much and Asante Sana. And do have a pleasant day today and make your day a reading day. Thank you for being with Omi. And this has been a pleasure. Odabo. Asante Sana. I have a few seconds left. I want to say to those early morning people out there, get up and read the newspaper. Find a book. Read to your children from the funnies side of the newspaper, the family section. Find something to read today. And for you child care workers, get up and move those children away from the television set and take them in the room where they can put on costumes and props and begin to act out the parts of the story. Providers, I know that you're home alone and don't have the time to read because you don't have enough hands, but invite guests into your home to be a part of your reading project. And if nothing else, put me on and record my show, and maybe you can catch me giving a few facts or stories about reading. And in my next segment, I plan to do more reading so that you can have a better opportunity to hear how it's done through role modeling. Once again, have a great day and a pleasant day for reading. I give you your world back.